Women, invite your friends, your family. It's going to be an awesome conference. Marlinda is an awesome speaker, and it's just going to be a great time. And I know that people will be freed. Ladies and women will be free of all ages. Please come. And you can still buy tickets at the door, but we're just trying to get head count for our food. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. So all you women that are coming, please come on Saturday. But also, Marlinda's going to be speaking here on Sunday morning service. So that doesn't get you women not to come on Saturday, though. But she's going to be speaking on Sunday and give us the word on Sunday. So that's going to be awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning to give the word. And when they were singing those songs, the title of my message is Freedom. Freedom in Jesus. And there's no other freedom that we can have. There's no other freedom that's available that is free. And that's freedom in Jesus Christ. And, you know, we've just been sharing some things the last couple Sundays. And, you know, I want to share some things that, because as we go through, you know, the news and we hear things on the internet and read things and watch things, you know, we're living in a society that's looking for freedom. We're living in a society that's looking for freedom. You know, when God put marriage together, it's a covenant of marriage, not a contract. You know, when I do lessons in marriage counseling, a contract you can get out of. Well, I didn't meet this need, and I feel I'm going to kind of get out of this contract. But a covenant is made. God has made a covenant with marriage between God and you. And but in our society, we're always trying to figure out ways to be free from things that God has created for us. And we live in a society that is really, you know, spouses are abandoning families to be liberated from the constraints of marriage that God created. And they're trying to be free. I'm going to be free from this marriage. I'm going to be free from this situation. And their desire for freedom just leads to more bondage in heartbreak and separation. You know, and we see, you know, the bondage, and we see, you know, people are trying to be free. And we talk about the news, you know, I'm going to kind of hit on some points, but I want you to really hear my heart, that we're all looking for freedom. And when you don't know Jesus, we've tried to find it in different ways. You know, we're dealing with, in the news, with same-sex attractions. We're dealing with same-sex marriage, and we're dealing with things like that. We're looking for approval in our society. They're looking for approval, and they're getting it, but the stamp of approval will not and never can free you from what God has created it to be. I want you to hear my heart. You know, we're dealing with a lot of things, and when a woman is looking for freedom and saying, this is my body, I'm free to choose, their desire for freedom brings another aftermath of bondage and regret. But see, we're trying to be free. We're trying to say, I'm okay. I can do this. I can be, you know, I want to be free to make choices. I want to be free to do whatever I want to do. But when we come to the Word of God, freedom, I want you to hear me. Don't get too sidetracked because we're not picking on anything. I'm being very honest. Sin is sin, and we talked about this last week. But when we hear the news and all this comes up, is all the world is trying to do is, I want to make the choice. I don't want to be accountable to anybody else. I want to be free. I want to be free. Where that you only can find freedom in Jesus Christ. That is your only freedom that we have. When you find that Spirit of the Lord, you find eternal freedom. Where He is, there is freedom. Only in the Holy Spirit of God do we find freedom in Jesus. And so I want us to really understand, you know, as we give the word today, see, God is the Spirit, the Almighty Creator. He gives life, all power, all knowing. Wherever He is, there is freedom. Not what we're trying to make up freedom to be. Not what we, you know, I want to be free, I want to do what I want to do, but God has created us in His image. And so we really need to look to the Word of God to find freedom. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about what the Bible says about freedom. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 18, we're going to read that. And I want us to see that, you know, we live in a world that sometimes there's a veil put over our faces. You know, there's something that stops us from seeing what the truth is. And Paul talks about that here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 18, "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away." I'm going to read this slow because I want you to catch this. "How will the ministry of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation, which was the law all through the Old Testament," he's talking about the law in the Old Testament, "had glory, the ministry of righteousness, Jesus, exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels." He's talking about Jesus. "For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious." Jesus, once again, the Holy Spirit. "Therefore, since we have such hope, we us great boldness of speech." We use great boldness of speech. "Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away." That was the law. "But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away only in Jesus Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one," here it is, "when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I'm going to read that again. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord." Wow. There's a lot in there. There's a lot packed in there. But we're going to try to unpack this a little bit. Verse 7 and verse 8, I'm going to read that once again. Verse 7 and verse 8 says, "But if the ministry of death," which is the Old Testament, which is the law, "written and engraved on the stones," that's what he's talking about, the law, "was glorious so that the church, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how would the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" Hallelujah. The first thing I want you to hear is that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is more marvelous than the ministry of death. Because Paul says the ministry of the law was death. We couldn't keep the law. That's why Jesus came. That's why God sent his son. We could not keep the law. The law was, the Old Testament is there and it needs to be read. But the whole thing about the Old Testament, it's showing us Jesus, who's coming. All through the Old Testament, he's showing us that Jesus is coming. And he says it, that the law could not do what Jesus could do. Could you put that up? The ministry of the Holy Spirit is more marvelous than the ministry of death. If you can put that point up, that you guys can write that down or take a picture of it. These are very important, you know, things that we need to understand. In verse 9 and 10, it says, "For the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory." So the ministry of righteousness is more marvelous than condemnation. What's Romans 8:1 say? "If we are in Christ Jesus, therefore there is no condemnation who walk in the Spirit." So the law was do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. We knew that that's what the Old Testament was. That's what Israel wanted. And so now Paul is talking to the church. He says, hey, we've got to get back and remember why, you know, you've received Jesus. And that we're not going back to the law. We have been freed in Jesus Christ. And then verse 11, for if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is permanent, and it's better than that is passing. So the Old Testament, the law was something that was there for a reason. But then afterwards, he was only bringing that to bring Jesus into the picture. So the Jesus is permanent. Jesus does not fade away. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is always there. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But so Paul's saying, you know, if you're going to put the veil on, if you're going to look back and you're going to try to live under the law, and he's telling them, he's talking to the church here. He's saying, hey, you guys can't go back to live under the law. You have been freed in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the first thing we want us to see, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, is that with this, there's boldness. Verse 12 states, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Great boldness of speech. So the Holy Spirit brings boldness to us, and the Holy Spirit gives us great boldness of speech, having there such a hope. And I like what verse 11 says. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much glorious. That's our hope. Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And so, for what is passing away was glorious, what remains is more glorious, Jesus is more glorious. And that's what gives us boldness to speak the word of God. I like that word boldness. It means free and fearless, confidence, cheerful, courage, assurance. You know, it's the boldness to pray. It's the boldness to worship. It's the boldness to have a spirit of expectation. It's a boldness that we can come to Jesus and have a relationship with the Father and seeing God as our Father. That's the key to this whole thing, is that we don't see God as our Father. We see God as some spiritual being out there that we can't relate to, or I better not say something to him, or I better not pray something to him. I better be good, you know, because he's watching over me and he's going to, you know, count how many things I did right and how many things I did wrong. No, it gives us a boldness to speak, not just to other people, but a boldness to come to Jesus and talk to him. He's our Father. He's our Father. And if we don't look at him as our Father, then we're always looking at him as something that, you know, I can't get too close to. We're not hiding what has been given to us. We have been given freedom. We have been given freedom. And I love the songs today because freedom is only in Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, we are overwhelmed with gratitude and amazement at what God has opened up us through Jesus Christ. This is all about Jesus. Now I say, you know, if it's not about Jesus, then it's not about anything. Because Jesus is the reason that we are here today. Paul encountered this risen Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. You can read it. He which inspired his great boldness of speech. You know, Paul's out there. He's killing all the Christians. He's putting them in prison. He's trying to do away with the church. And all of a sudden, wow, Jesus shows up on the road to Damascus. He zaps them. And he receives Christ. He knows Jesus to be the Messiah, the one whom Israel was waited for centuries, and the one who had come to save the world. And here's Paul, he's killing the Christians. And all of a sudden, Jesus meets him. The angel comes on the road to Damascus and meets him right there. And that's why Paul has this boldness, because he has experienced the freedom in Jesus. That's what I want you to understand. The boldness to be free, to let people know who Jesus is, because you've experienced that in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us. And number two, we are free from the veil. This is so important. Verses 13 through 15. 13 through 15. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end, what was passing away. See that glory when he stood in front of the presence of God, his face had shined. He was in the presence of God. But then when he came down, if you read Exodus 34, 29 through 35, it says that when he came down, he spoke to Israel. He spoke to the nation. Then he put the veil on his face when he walked away because he didn't want them to see the passing glory, it says. Because the Old Testament, that was God had, you know, he experienced, Moses had this experience with God. He was in his presence, but it was fading because Jesus was coming. The everlasting glory that will never fade away. That will never fade away. So we go to verse 14. It says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is only taken away by Christ. That's why, you know, so many people are still blinded because they haven't seen Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And then we go to verse 15. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. So for Moses, the glow was temporary. It was passing away. But for us, Paul writes, it's eternal. It's forever. Hallelujah. That's what this is all about this morning, is that, you know, we are free in Christ. There's not something that, okay, Christ comes and, oh, we had a great service this morning. It was great worship. You know, we had a great time, but now it's gone. It's never gone. Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday and forever. He's greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ Jesus. There is nothing impossible. Why? Because the glory does not fade away. The glory does not fade away. The glory does not fade away. Moses put it on his face because he didn't want to see them. He didn't want Israel to see that the glory was passing away. And that's why Paul says, hey, you have been free in Christ. This is forever. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. I want you to get this, church, because we're living in a day where people are trying to be free, and we have the answer what freedom really is. It's not let me make my own decisions. Let me do what I want to do. It's my body. You know, it's my time. It's my money. It's my everything, you know. And if I want to get out of something because I don't like it, I'm just going to leave. That's not freedom. That continues to be bondage. That's not what the Word of God says. But God is freeing us this morning to understand that he has come and his glory is everlasting. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts that we might have in us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. We get to shine the light in the dark areas. I'll tell you what, when you walk, we said this last week, when you walk in a room full of darkness, and I don't mean just the lights are shut off, but in a room of darkness where people don't know Jesus, you come in and you occupy that room because you have the Holy Spirit. You are the light. You are the salt. Hallelujah. You bring freedom. You bring the Son of God. You bring the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, church. You got to get this, because we're all going to walk into some dark rooms. And if we don't know that we're already free and they need to be free, and we need to give them this glory that does not fade away. Hallelujah. The revelation Moses was veiled. It was partial. It was incomplete. Think about it. Even how glorious, I want you to catch this, how glorious he's in the presence of God. If you read in Exodus, he says, God, show me your glory. He shows him his glory. I mean, Moses, can you imagine being in the presence of the Almighty God? I can't even imagine, but we can, because the Holy Spirit does live inside of us. But being in the presence of the whole, you know, and God is with his finger, he's writing the Ten Commandments, he's writing the law, and he's spending time, and he comes out, and his face is just glorified by the glory of God. But still, that was incomplete. But still, that wasn't forever, that glory. But the whole glory of the light of the revelation of God was never seen until it was seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we have that. We have that. We have that everlasting glory. And it's not by Moses, wasn't just for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says in John 1:17. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's who we have surrendered to. That's who we're in love with. That's who we lay at our feet. That's who we give our problems to. That's who we give our anxieties to. That's who we give our discouragement to. That's who we give everything to walk this Christian life out, is that he is full of grace and truth. Yes, the glory that Moses had when he stood on the mountain and he stood there with God the Almighty, the creator of all things, the glory, but the Bible says that glory has faded away. Why? Because Jesus has come. And we have that. We have that. I want to encourage you this morning, man. If you don't walk out here and say, wow, this Moses had something, but it passed. We have something that lives on forever. It doesn't pass. It won't pass. It can't pass because he can't lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. For the glory of God in Christ is for every one of us. Not just for Moses, not just for Elijah, not just for Isaiah, not just for the Apostle Paul, not just for Peter. You go through the Bible, not just for Joshua. You know, when God spoke to, not just for Abraham, not just for Moses, for all of us, Jesus, the glory that doesn't fade away is for all of us. Praise God. He's no respecter of person. No respecter of person. So the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. He frees us from the veil that has been over our eyes. And then the third thing, he gives us liberty. True liberty, I want you to catch this. True liberty is living as we should, not as we please. I'm going to say that again. True liberty is living as we should, not as we please. I'm have the liberty in Christ now. I can just do whatever I want. No, I don't think so. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says liberty is living as we should, walking with Jesus, walking with the Father. We just preached on that last week. Paul is saying where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I like that. Verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where? Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Where? Somebody tell me. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Inside of us, right? Where? Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord, why? Because he lives inside of you and I. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, we are where? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we are where? We're where? Right here at Calvary Gospel. There is liberty. I want you to catch that. Wherever you walk, there's liberty. Wherever you walk, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. I walk into a room and, like, I walk into church here, Spirit of the Lord's already here. I don't have to wait till I come in. Well, that would be a terrible thing. Waited for me to come in and have the Spirit of the Lord be here. Spirit of the Lord is here. As soon as you walk in, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there he is. Hallelujah. There's no fear in that. I don't have to worry about, is the Spirit of the Lord with me? Man, that's not doctrinal theology. That's not true. He is with you. And you bring him wherever you go. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there it is. All veils are removed because the glory of Jesus Christ never fades. Once we see Jesus, everything else, I want you to catch this, everything else is exposed as lacking. Something is missing. Jesus exposes everything that's missing. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus never fades. And once we see him, everything else is exposed as lost. Remember when you read Paul, he says, everything I've gained is like rubbish to me. And he's talking about all his education from the rabbis, everything he knew, everything he studied, all the good deeds he thought he did. He goes, it's all rubbish except for Jesus because he's free. He's free. You want to walk today, this morning, you're going to be able to walk out of here and say, I am free in Jesus. See, the Old Testament was God ordained. The Old Testament was very important. At the time of Moses, it was the covenant. And with it, there was to be no compromise. The Old Testament also brought much glory. But as we know, it couldn't accomplish what eternity can accomplish in Jesus Christ. That's the key. That's the key. It was only able to shadow and point to the eternal that had to be brought to pass through Jesus Christ. The Old Testament from the start was always going to fade away, the law, not the scriptures. Old Testament's there, it stays there, but we're not living in the Old Testament. We're not living under the law. We're living in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. The law was glorious. Since it reflected that this was the will of God, the Old Testament, but it had no saving power. The law gave you no help, no liberty, no grace, and no mercy. But Jesus comes and gives that to us. The law was very important. The Old Testament is very important. The Old Testament, the glory of God was shined in the Old Testament, just like the New. But we all know that we couldn't make it. Because we couldn't keep all the laws. And that's why God sends Jesus. That's the freedom I want you to understand. When Moses went into God's presence, he had the liberty to take off the veil, it says. The presence of the Lord gave him that liberty. How much more would the presence of God in us give us that liberty to say, God, have your way. God, I want more of you. The freedom to walk in your presence and it's with us and say, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. If Moses could walk into the presence of God, take off his veil and just bask in the presence of the holy God, how much more can we? And we know that glory has faded, but yes, that glory of God through Jesus Christ is still here forever. Forever. We get to walk, we get to fellowship, we get to be in the presence of the Almighty God, His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. And also liberty gives us access. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. That liberty, see, a lot of times, you know, back in the Old Testament, once a year, the priest would go in to the Holy of Holies, and he would do a sacrifice, and he would do all these things for the nation of Israel, and the people couldn't go in. But Jesus comes and says, okay, that glory has faded away. It was awesome. It was good. That's what God ordained. That's what God commanded. That was the law. But I'm giving you Jesus. I'm giving you Jesus. Now you have total access to me through Jesus Christ, my Son. And that's what I want you to catch this morning, the glory of who Jesus is. We have that. We have that. It gives us access, a liberty from the yoke of the law, from sin, from death, and from hell. We can do this when you know Jesus Christ. And fourth, the last thing is, it's the freedom, or not the last thing, but freedom to be bold. It says that, beholding, let's see, verse 18, but we all with unveiled faces beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And that word beholding means reflecting. See, Moses' face shined because it reflected the presence of God. Do we reflect the glory of God when we behold Jesus Christ? See, his presence, he was reflecting all his presence of God. God never fades. And that's the Christian's life is, are we beholding, are we reflecting Jesus? Are we reflecting Jesus? We have to reflect Jesus. And then the last one is, we have freedom to be transformed. This is so important. We can be transformed, and it says to be transformed into the image of Christ. That as in a mirror, in verse 18, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed. That word is metamorpho. We get our word metamorphosis, to change. a caterpillar to a butterfly, the old to the new, the old to the new. We are new creations in Jesus Christ. He doesn't leave us, okay? He just doesn't leave you where you are. There's a change. There's a metamorphosis happening. We are changed from the old man, the old creature, to a new man, the new creation, the Bible says. We are new in Christ. The freedom to be transformed. All these things that we're talking about, it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit doing it. Hallelujah. That's freedom. That's freedom. When I'm not trying to work at all these things that I got to do this, I got to do that. If I could just be free from this. No, the Holy Spirit transforms you and I through His power. And through what He does through us, we get to change because He's doing the change. We behold the glory. We reflect the glory. We become the glory. Hallelujah. We become the glory. See, we can't imagine that. You know, we read, sometimes people read these stories in the Bible and they just take them as stories. It's like, how could he be in the presence of God? God. God. And then his face shine. How could he do that? We behold the glory. We reflect the glory. We can become the glory. God has asked us to become the glory. There's no reason why when you don't walk in, you can't walk into a room and people say, wow, what is different about you than all of us sitting here? Because of the glory. We have so much as believers that we don't understand how glorious it is to walk with Jesus. Because sometimes we're still in this vacuum of, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not righteous enough, I'm not holy enough. But Jesus has made you all those things. That's what the Bible says. So when you walk in a room, you might have had a bad day, but the Holy Spirit didn't have a bad day. Holy Spirit never has a bad day. God doesn't have a bad day. Jesus doesn't have a bad day. We do sometimes. We're human. But the Holy Spirit walks in. He's not having a bad day. He's having a good day because every day is a good day. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be what? Glad in it, because the Holy Spirit does not have a bad day. He does not have anxiety. He does not have depression. He is not fearful. He is not anxious. He's the Holy Spirit. He's full of glory, and He resides in you and I. And we have to understand there are bad days you may think you have, but the Holy Spirit isn't having one. And since He lives inside of us, we're going to walk into that space, that area, that room, wherever it may be, and say, Lord, have your way, because you are here. You're occupying this room with me. Hallelujah. There's too many times we're having a bad day. And we think the Holy Spirit's having a bad day. He's not. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. In other words, our life's purpose is to resemble Christ more and more each day. How do we do that? By the Holy Spirit. The last part of verse 18 says, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That means we can do this. I'm not teaching you anything that you can't do. And you only can do it through the Holy Spirit. That's why we all can do this. We all can walk into the room and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Hallelujah. We're walking with the glory of God. The Holy Spirit does a transformation. And He transforms us from the inside out. Hallelujah. Moses was transformed from the outside. We are transformed from the inside with the Holy Spirit. And that inside has got to come out with the glory of God. Moses experienced outward transformation when he saw the glory of God. But we as believers enjoy the inward transformation when we see and have the same glory of God. That's why if you have, you know, if you're going through something in your life, which we all do, it's okay. We know as believers, we're going to go through things. We talked about it last week. The whole New Testament, he's writing letters to all these churches. These are believers, and he's saying, hey, church, get your act together here. You're doing some things you shouldn't do. That's not what God, that's, I mean, you're falling away. You're going back to the law. You're doing this, you're doing that. That's how you used to be. That's not who you are. Read it in the New Testament. So Paul isn't saying you can't do this. Paul's just reminding us you can do this. And so we're just reminding you, us as a church, God's just saying, hey, you can do this. Why? Because it's not you, but it's the Holy Spirit working through you. Going to church will not transform you. Man, I grew up and I figured, man, if I can go to church enough, I have transformation. Church is not going to transform you. What changes you is worship before the Lord. And then we go and sing all this. The last song was about worship. The one before that was about freedom. And I didn't even know what songs they were doing. God's telling us something. God's saying you are free when you have Christ living inside of you. Not free because I get to do anything I want to do. I get to choose what I want to choose. And it's just going to be me because it's my body, it's my time, it's my money, it's this and that. And I don't want to be in this relationship. So, hey, we got to get our act together. We have to get our act together. We have to live by this word because it's freedom that we receive. We can do this, church. We can do that. I'm pouring my heart out to you because I've seen too many people who are living, every time you turn the TV on, you know, I want my rights. Right? I wish we would say, get up, you know, come into church on a Sunday morning. Pastor Tom, I have my right to worship Jesus. Hallelujah. I got my right to lay myself at his feet this morning. You know, Pastor Tom, when I got up this morning, I had the right to lay myself down and surrender to the Son of God, the almost holy God who created all this stuff. Guess what? I laid at his feet. You know why? I have the right to do that because Hebrews tells me to come boldly to the throne of grace. I have access. Hallelujah. I don't wake up in the morning, so I got freedom to be angry. I got freedom to be right. The only freedom you have to be right is to lay yourself at the feet of Jesus. Because the freedom that Jesus had, being the Son of God, what's the only thing he did? What's the only thing he did? He went to the cross. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels. Hey, if you're supposed to be the Son of God, take yourself off the cross. He had more freedoms than anybody you're going to hear on the news. I got my rights. He had more rights than all of us. He's the Son of God. I mean, that's a big right. And he says, I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to lay it down. We got to get this. It'll change. It'll change your life. We will not behold him unless we worship, because the foundation, worship is the foundation upon which we build our lives for the Lord. They're going to do a song for me. We're going to end very shortly. I want you guys to understand that just because, you know, they say, if you hear this saying, it says the squeaky wheel gets the oil. The person who screams the loudest gets what they want. You know, we're going through a society where there's a lot of screaming and yelling going on. And it's a very small percentage of the whole society. I want you to hear this. I've read statistics on everything that we're dealing with, everything. It's a small percentage of the society, but they're screaming the loudest. I want you to know, as a church, I don't want you to get out there and scream. I've been places where people have held a megaphone up. I've walked through streets and guys sitting there screaming and yelling, you're all going to hell if you don't know Jesus. You're all going to hell. You're all going to hell. I've been on streets like that. I'm not telling you to scream the loudest. I'm telling you we as a church need to know who we are in Jesus. And we need to scream from our hearts and pray for this nation. We can't get on our bandwagon, can't get on the internet, start bashing all these people. We know what's wrong. You and I know what's wrong through this word. And there's things I said this morning that maybe I've offended people. We're not picking out sin. We said this last week. fornication, adultery, and murder are not at the top and lying at the bottom. We said that last week. It's all sin. But God has asked us to be a people that will express His glory. Man, we got to get on our knees. And I just want to say this. If we can't do it here amongst each other, if we can't do it out there, folks, don't tell me you're doing out there if we have strife amongst each other. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. You can think it works. You can try to make it work. But if you're angry with me here, how much love do you have for that person out there who hates you? I love you. You know, and I'm just using it as an example. I know you love me. And I love this church. But we have got to come together and realize this is not about us. It's not about you and me. It's about Jesus. And we have to come together as a church. We have to become unified. Scream in our hearts that it's worship God. God, we can't do this without you. That glory, we even said, we even read it. That glory, it's not that you have passed. No, that's not what we're saying. But the glory was all pointing to Jesus who doesn't pass. Young people, if you can catch this, it's going to save you a bunch of heartache in your life. Because you can't do it without Jesus. Eventually, the enemy will tear you down. But with Jesus, he can't. We have an emptiness when we allow our worship of God to focus primarily on our needs and desires rather than on Him. Sometimes, you know, I'll be worshiping and I said, why am I still feeling empty? It's because probably some of my worship was about me and what I wanted, my desires, my needs. They're going to sing this song, and we're going to, in just a few seconds, and we're going to stand and we're going to close. But I really want you to catch this word, because God has done it through the songs, and then He's given it through the word. His glory does not fade away. His glory, church, does not fade away. We need it. And it's in us. Pray for this nation. Pray for our government. Pray for our leaders. Pray. Pray. Know that when you walk in a room, you're bringing the presence of the Almighty Holy Spirit with you. His glory does not fade. Young people, my heart goes out to you. You have it harder than I ever had it when I was in school. That's why I'm so passionate about this. I don't want to see any more of our young people be lost. You don't have to be. But you got to catch this, that it's all about Jesus. It's not about anything else. Let's just stand. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Keep on playing. Keep on playing. Just let's worship him this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to leave the altar open. First of all, if there's anybody here that has never received this Jesus in your life, man, I encourage you. It's a simple prayer. Here it is. Lord, I need you. It's a simple prayer. Lord, I'm lost without you. Lord, I've realized that I can't do this. That freedom that I was looking for, I thought it was all about me, but I've just learned it's all about you. And now I've learned that, Lord, you went to that cross because you've forgiven me already of all my sins, past, present, and future. And Lord, I want to spend eternity with you. Lord, I receive you right now. Lord, I lay my life down at your feet. If you're here today and you've never said that, say it in your own words. That's receiving Jesus. That's being born again. That's being alive in Jesus. We need it. And if you've never done that, I don't care how young you are or how old you are, church doesn't save you. Church does not transform you. Jesus does. See, the church has tried to sell you a bad product sometimes. Hey, come to church, pay your dollar, sit here, make sure you come at Christmas and Easter, and you get to go to heaven. Can I say, I'm going to say something, not to offend anybody, but that's garbage. There's no truth to that in the Word. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me, in John. John 14, I think it's 6. Doesn't say if you come to church, come for a few times, make sure you're noticed, do a couple things. Come on, I want you in church. God wants you in church because he wants you to be fed. He wants you to serve. He wants you to be a part of the ministry of Calvary Gospel. He wants to do great things. We have giftings that were given to us by God, and we need to come. The Bible says, come and bring your giftings and to the body. And God puts you in the body, it says in Corinthians, where he sees fit. You're the piece of the puzzle that we all need. But you need Jesus. Or else you're never going to keep on coming back to Calvary. You need Jesus. So if you've never, I don't care how young or I don't care if you've been coming to church, I don't care if this, if you've been coming to church for 50 years, if you've never expressed that prayer, coming here didn't get you saved. Jesus did. So I'm talking about young people also. Hallelujah, Lord. Just say that prayer. And if you have, and if you said it, come and see me after. Come and see Ben or Oleg, one of our leaders in the youth, or our Richard, or some of our board members, Yvonne or Alex. Come and see them. Say, hey, I just received Jesus today. They'll pray with you. It says the angels rejoice in heaven when one person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, I say, you know, us who have been walking with you, we still need to reflect your glory. There's no vacation and there's no retirement. We need to reflect your glory, church. There's a dying world going to hell. A lot of people, I'm going to say it again, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but you don't have rights. The right you have is to lay your life down to Jesus. Oh, but it's my body. Who created you? In the image of Christ. Who sent his son, Jesus Christ? Who bankrupted heaven for you? That's freedom. Eternity. Thank you, God, for these doors that you have opened at Calvary. That, Lord, we'd come to a place, we'd get on our knees, come to a place of repentance, That word repentance means I change my heart, I change my mind. What I was doing before, I'm not going to do. I'm going to follow Jesus. Church, we need to come to a place of repentance. And let's pray for our country and our nation. And you need to speak the truth in love. But speak the truth. Don't walk in a room and shy away when people start talking about, oh, you know, I have this right and I can do that. No, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Now listen, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and then through you. Be careful we don't kind of like mix it up a little bit. You're going to hell. If you think like that, you're going to hell. Speak to me, Holy Spirit, and say, there's a God that loves you, that has created eternity for you. Heaven. Yes, there is a hell. But guess what? God loves you too much to let you go there. That's what you need to tell someone. He loves you too much. You need to repent. Need to give your life to Jesus. That's freedom. That's freedom. Thank you, Father. Church, thank you for being patient. I just feel like we you know, I know I'm belaboring this point, but I'm just giving people time to really respond to this message. Can't fool around anymore. Thank you, Father, for Calvary Gospel. Thank you for your word. We love you, Jesus. You're an awesome God. Your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory never fades. That's what the greatest thing about freedom in you is. We always have it. And we need to reflect it. We need to behold it. And allow you, Holy Spirit, here's the key, allow you to transform us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, church. Come downstairs, fellowship, shake a hand with someone, tell them you're glad you're here. Come and have coffee and fellowship with us.